إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we are starting a new series, which is entitled Maqasid al-Hajj. Maqasid al-Hajj, yani the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, yani those things which one should be striving to achieve during the performance of Hajj. The maqasid of Hajj, yani the goals, the objectives, the aims, the purpose, yani the things that the Hajj has been established for, that one who is performing the pilgrimage should be striving, yani should be focusing on trying to realize, to accomplish, to achieve, to actualize from the performance of pilgrimage. And in this topic is really a very important topic. And to me, it's amazing. I'm amazed myself that it's not something that hasn't been discussed more. And in the years past, we have seen a lot of lectures, khutbah, classes dealing with the ahkam of Hajj, the legal rulings and the manner of performance of Hajj. And there's no doubt this is of the utmost importance. And this is one side of what is necessary for a Muslim to know for this very important act of worship. But the other side is understanding what is the purpose, what are the objectives or the goals or the aims for which the pilgrimage has been established, so that a person who's performing pilgrimage will know what it is that they should be trying to achieve during its performance. And it's not just a matter of going to Mecca and going to Arafat and Muzdalifah and Mina and doing certain rites or rituals. Rather, it is understanding that Allah has established a pilgrimage for a purpose, with goals and objectives that one is to achieve in the performance of pilgrimage. And if a person doesn't have these goals and objectives in mind, how will they achieve them? How will they be achieved? In any case, this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to briefly introduce the author, and then try to read from his introduction to the topic, and he discussed in detail the first objective or the first goal that he mentions concerning the goals or objectives or the maqasid of Hajj. So the author, his name is Shaykh Abdul Razak. He is the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr. Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He was born on the 22nd of the month of Dhul Qa'dah, in the year 1382 of the Hijrah, in a place called Az-Zulfi in the province of Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. His undergraduate studies, master's degree and PhD degree were all at the Islamic University of Medina. His teachers were many. From amongst them were his father, first and foremost his father, Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Hafidhullah. And yani after his father, from amongst the most prominent and distinguished of his teachers were Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and the noble Shaykh Ali Nasir Faqihi Hafidhullah, and many others. From his many writings, from amongst the most important of them is Fiqh al-Ad'iyyah wal-Adhkar. Yani the understanding of supplications and words of remembrance, a tremendous book which contained unlimited benefits for anyone who is interested in this topic. From amongst his writings is Ta'zim al-Salat, yani a very important book, the great importance of Salat that we have discussed in detail previously in another class. And from amongst his books are explanations, the explanation of the book of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymeen, the exemplary principles, yani in Asma wa Sifat. The explanation of Al-Kalima al-Tayyiba by Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, explanation of Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and many others. From amongst his translated works are the methodology of Ahl al-Sunnah in uniting the Ummah. Very, very beneficial book. The value of time in the life, in the Muslim's life. The value of time. Yani how a Muslim, yani values or sees time in your life. The causes behind increase and decrease of iman. Also, yani a book of great importance, yani in which the Shaykh has given details of that which is mentioned in brief by Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di in his book, yani al-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman. Yani in that book, Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di has mentioned some of the causes of increase and decrease of iman. And the Shaykh here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, has expanded upon what the Shaykh has given and brought it to another level. Also from his translated books are 50 points of benefit extracted from the story of Luqman the Wise. And there are many other books. The Shaykh is prolific in writing, in speaking, in lectures, and teaching. His occupation, he is presently a member of the teaching staff at the Islamic University of Medina. And he has also given numerous lectures at the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina and other locations locally and abroad. Yani years ago when he was much younger, he was the dean, the amid of the College of Da'wah in the Islamic University of Medina. And he gave up that position because he said that he didn't feel that his occupation should be sitting in an office, but rather he should be with his students. When he was a young man, 25 years ago, he was the dean of the College of Da'wah at the Islamic University of Medina. And the Shaykh is only like 56 years old now. Naam. Huh? Shaykh Abdul Razak. Naam. Yani something like that. Yani he was born what? 1382. And this is 1438. 56. Naam. So he's still a young man now. Okay, so Yani this is just a brief summary of the Shaykh's biography. Yani we are familiar with him, alhamdulillah. We've talked about his biography in the past, so I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. No doubt it is important to know yani who it is that we're taking yani the knowledge from. So maqasid al-hajj, the goals, objectives of the pilgrimage. Before I read from the Shaykh's introduction, I want to mention an ayah from the Quran which I think is critical for us to reflect upon to see the seriousness and importance of this topic that we are embarking upon. Yani from the Quran, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 97th Ayah. And the ayahs before that actually lay the way for the topic, but Allah says in this ayat, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Yani that the pilgrimage to the house, to the Kaaba and Mecca, is ala nasi, an obligation upon humanity, upon the people. It is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lillahi ala nasi. Yani Allah has a right upon the people that He has placed an obligation upon them to make pilgrimage to the house. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Whoever has the ability, yani, who is able to find a way there. Meaning they have provisions and they have transportation, yani, so that they can get there and they have safe passage. This is an obligation upon the people that is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whoever is able. Yani this ayat in itself needs to be studied, but it's not our topic for tonight, this ayat, right? But I mentioned this in the beginning for us to see the importance of this matter, especially for a person who hasn't performed pilgrimage. And now we're in the season of pilgrimage, and it might be a little late for a person to go, but in any case, know that it is an obligation. It is an obligation upon the people, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make pilgrimage to the house. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غني عن العالمين. ومن كفر يعني the pilgrimage to the house is an obligation upon the people that is owed to Allah. And whoever disbelieved, ومن كفر يعني whoever disbelieved in the obligation of this pilgrimage to the house. نعم. Whoever, you have some copies? How many? طيب, if anybody would like an Arabic, we don't have an English translation, right? If anybody like an Arabic copy of this book, inshallah, I don't know how you're going to pass it out, akhi. I hope we can pass it out without a great disturbance. Now, please identify yourself, raise your hand or something so the brother can give you a copy, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Yani, if we understand that this is an obligation to make pilgrimage to the house, and Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ يعني whoever disbelieved, who denied the obligation of performing the pilgrimage. And this denial might be in words, that a person says, I don't believe it's obligatory. Or it might be in action, that a person is able to perform pilgrimage and they don't do it. They just refuse to do it. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ whoever disbelieved. Yani not disbelieved in Allah, disbelieved in Islam, disbelieved in the obligation of performing the pilgrimage that Allah has made obligatory upon us. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then indeed Allah is free of need of anyone or anything in the creation. Allah is free of need. Allah has no need. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah in the tafsir of this ayah mentions two narrations that I want to allude to. One of them is a narration on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu that's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Kathir mentions like a lot of sayings concerning this narration which and he make it clear that the narration is weak, extremely weak. Al-Imam Bukhari said that one of the narrators is Munkar al-Hadith. Any extreme, severe criticism, a rejected narration. But in any case, in that narration, it's reported from Ali radiallahu anhu, I'm saying that it's weak, right? It's weak. Be clear that it's weak. He said that whoever possess the zad, yani provisions, and the rahila, transportation, means to go to hajj, وَلَمْ يَحُجْ بَيْتَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَدُرُّهُ مَاتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. It wouldn't harm that person. Whoever has the means to perform the pilgrimage and didn't do it, and he didn't go for pilgrimage to the house of Allah, فَلَا يَدُرُّهُ. It would not harm him if he died as a Christian or a Jew. Yani dying as a Christian or a Jew wouldn't harm that person. His condition would be the same. And if the person who has the means to make hajj and doesn't do it, they just will die as a Christian or a Jew. The hadith is da'if. Right? But Ibn Kathir mentioned his tafsir, and after that he mentioned another narration, the narration of Abdul Rahman, yani that أنه سمع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول. Yani he said that I heard, yani he heard عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه saying, من أطاق الحج فلم يحج. Yani the meaning from Umar al-Khattab is the same as that weak narration, except that this is authentically attributed to Umar. من أطاق الحج, whoever has the ability to perform pilgrimage, فلم يحج, and they didn't perform pilgrimage, فسواء عليه يهوديا ماتا أو نصرانيا. Yani whoever had the ability to perform hajj and didn't perform it, didn't go, فسواء عليه, it is the same to him, his condition is the same, that he is Yahudiyan mata or Nasraniyan. Yani that he died as a Jew or a Christian. I don't know if it's clear. Maybe it's not clear. Yani meaning, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's saying that if a person had the ability to make hajj and he didn't make hajj, then it would be the same. His condition would be the same as his condition if he died as a Christian or a Jew. I hope that's clear. I don't feel that it's clear. I don't feel that it's clear. Yani his condition of being able to make hajj and not performing it, being able and not performing it, is the same as his condition if he had died as a Christian or a Jew. I think that's clear. Huh? Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he says, وَهَذَا إِسْنَادٌ صَحِيحٌ إِلَىٰ عُمَرْ بْنَ الْخَطَابِ. That this isnad is sahih, going back to Umar, yani mawquf, as a statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Naam. And then Ibn Kathir also mentions another narration in which it's reported that Umar said, I had intended to send men to the cities, yani of the Muslim lands, and to look to every person who has the ability, yani to perform hajj, and they have the means to perform hajj. jada, yani sa'a, and they didn't perform Hajj. Fa yadribu alayhim al-jizya, so that we would tax them with the jizya. And then Umar said, ma hum muslimin, ma hum muslimin, they are not Muslims, they are not Muslims. Okay, I mentioned this to show us the seriousness of the obligation of performing pilgrimage. I hope that yani we realize how serious this matter is and we do not take the matter lightly. طيب, the Shaykh begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Dhil Jalali wal Ikram, Farada ala ibadihi, Hajja baytihi al-Haram, Rattaba ala dhalika, Jazil al-Ajr, Wawafir al-In'am, فمن حج البيت ولم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه نقيا من الذنوب والآثام. يعني he begins by praising Allah, the one who is the owner, يعني of the يعني majesty and honor, who has made obligatory upon his servants, his worshippers, the pilgrimage to his sacred house. And he has يعني made as a result of this, يعني the result of the one performing pilgrimage is that they will get a great reward and tremendous, plentiful bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for performing the Hajj. So whoever made pilgrimage to the house and they didn't يعني commit any indecencies or يعني illegal sexual relations or unlawful sexual relations, and they didn't commit any acts of disobedience يعني during the performance of the Hajj, that person will return, رَجْعَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. They will come back in a condition, يعني free from their sins, in the same way as the day in which their mother gave birth to them, نَقِيًا مِنَ الذُنُوبُ وَالْآثَامِ. يعني free, completely free from all types of sins. And this hadith, and other narrations of it with similar wording, is one of the proofs that's used by some of the scholars, and we mentioned it previously, of the fact that there are some deeds that a person might do, due to which their sins are removed, major and minor. And this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and it's the opinion of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and it's the opinion of scholars of the past, like Al-Imam al-Qurtubi and others. Naam. That the person who performs pilgrimage that's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will return in the same condition as their condition on the day their mother gave birth to them. Yani free of all sins. That includes major and minor. Wallahu a'lam. The Shaykh goes on to say, and I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves worship except Allah alone, and that He has no partner, and He is the King, the one who has knowledge of everything, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He is the best of those who performed prayer, and the best of those who performed pilgrimage, and the best of those who fasted. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. وعلى آله وأصحابه الخيار الأعلام. أما بعد. After this introduction, the Shaykh, he says, he's addressing people who are performing pilgrimage. So maybe some of us are not getting ready to perform pilgrimage. Maybe some of us are. Maybe some of us are planning in the future, inshallah, if we haven't done it, in the near future, at the first opportunity that one is able, without delay. يا حجاج بيت الله الحرام. All those people who are pilgrims, who are intending to perform pilgrimage to the sacred house of Allah. نحمد الله عز وجل حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. Yani we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with praise that is blessed and that is pure and that is plenty. أن يسر لنا جميعا المجيء لأداء هذه الطاعة والقدومة للقيام بهذه العبادة. يعني we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making easy for all of us coming here to perform this act of obedience. يعني for arriving here for the fulfillment of this act of worship. And praise Him for honoring us by making us in this year of the wufud of Ar-Rahman. Yani those people who are the delegates, or those people who are the guest of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, and he says this expression, wufud Ar-Rahman, is from a hadith in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, al-hujjaju wal-ummaru wafdullah. the pilgrims, the people who are making pilgrimage, and the people who are making Umrah, they are the wafd of Allah, yani the delegates or the guest of Allah. Yani the wafd means a delegation or some people who are coming, yani coming to visit or to meet with someone, the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Da'ahum fa'ajabuhu. Yani he invited them. He invited the people to come to his sacred house for pilgrimage and for Umrah. Da'ahum fa'ajabuhu. So they answered him. Yani may Allah make us of those who answered his call. Wasa'aluhu fa'a'atahum. And they asked him for something and he gave it to them. Yani he invited them and they responded. And they asked him and he also responded. They asked and he gave. Subhanallah. This hadith is mentioned by Al-Bazzar in his Musnad, as mentioned in Kashf Al-Astar, and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared it to be Hasan in Silsila Al-Hadith Al-Sahihah. After this, the Shaykh says, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ كَمَا يُحِبُّ رَبُّنَا وَيَرْضَى. Yani that the praise belongs to Allah, yani a praise that is plentiful and that is pure and that contains blessings in the way that is loved by our Rabb and in a way that is pleasing to Him. This is the kind of praise that He is deserving of. لَهُ الْحَمْدُ عَلَى كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ أَنْعَمَ بِهَا عَلَيْنَا فِي قَدِيمٍ أَوْ حَدِيثٍ أَوْ سِرٍّ أَوْ أَلَانِيَةٍ أَوْ خَاصَةٍ أَوْ عَامَةٍ. Yani that Allah is deserving of praise for every blessing, every bounty, every favor that He has given to us, whether it was in the past or now, newly, or whether it was something that He gave us, a blessing that was secret, or it was something open. Yani He gave us a blessing that the people didn't see, but we know it. Or He gave us something open that the people see. Allah has blessed someone with. Whatever type of blessing it is, He said, even if it's khasa, something particular for you, special, or it's amma for the people in general, we praise Him for all of these blessings. وَنَسْأَلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَيُّزِعَنَا جَمِيعًا شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِهِ وَحُسْنَ عِبَادَتِهِ وَأَنْ يُوَفِّقَنَا لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us, yani to give us the power and the ability to be thankful for His blessings and to worship Him in the best manner and to give us the tawfiq or the success to do every kind of khair that He loves and that He's pleased with. Naam. Ameen. Yani we ask Allah what? To give us the ability to be thankful for His favors. Because without that, we will not be successful. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me, assist me in being, yani remembering You, and in being thankful to You and worshipping You in the best manner. This only, the tawfiq, the success in doing good, all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh pilgrims to the house of sacred house of Allah, موضوع هذه الكلمة مقاصد الحج. And the subject of this kalima, yani this talk, this brief talk, is مقاصد الحج. Yani the مقاصد of حج, the objectives, the goals, the aims, the purpose for which حج has been established. موضوع عظيم للغاية. Yani this is a subject that is extremely, yani extremely important. A great, yani magnificent topic. وَذَوَ حَمِّيَتْ بَالِغَةً. And it possesses, yani the utmost importance, this particular topic. Every one of us, yani here, the Shaykh is saying something important. وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهَا. Yani he's talking to people making Hajj, and in reality, yani it's addressed to all of the Muslims, right? Because this matter of understanding Al-Hajj, yani this is a pillar of the Arkan of Islam. It's not something only on the person who's getting ready to make Hajj this year or in the near future. Rather, it's incumbent upon every Muslim. So the Shaykh is saying, وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا يَحْتَاج بَيْنَ يَدَيْ أَدَائِهِ لِحَجِّ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ يُذَكَّرْ بِمَقَاصِدِ الْحَجِّ الْعِظَامِ. that every one of us is in need before the performance of pilgrimage to the sacred house of Allah to be reminded of the objectives or the goals of the great magnificent goals and objectives of the pilgrimage. Why do we need to be reminded of what are its goals and objectives? لِيُؤَدِّيَ مَنَاسِكَهُ وَلِيَكُومَ بِشَعَارِهِ مُحَقِّقًا تِلْكَ الْمَقَاصِدِ وَمُتِمِّمًا تِلْكَ الْأَهْدَافِ. And we need to be reminded, we need to know and understand and comprehend and reflect upon the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage so that we can fulfill the rites of the pilgrimage, so that we can perform the religious duties of the pilgrimage muhakkikan tilka al-maqasid, so that we can perform them in a way that we will realize that we will actualize, that we will achieve those goals that the pilgrimage has been set to achieve. And how will a person achieve them? How will a person actualize that in your life? Realize that. Except that you know what those goals are, that you're aware of them. So that we can complete and perfect, so that we can achieve these goals and objectives. The person who doesn't know what are the goals or the objectives of Hajj, so how will they achieve them? How will they fulfill the purpose for which it has been established? Well, Hajj Rukunun. Here the Shaykh talks about the importance of the Hajj. We already alluded to the importance of Hajj, right? With the ayah from Surah Ali Imran and the statement of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And here the Shaykh says, والحج ركن من أركان الإسلام. Hajj, pilgrimage, is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And if it was no more than that, it's enough, right? The pillars of Islam, these are the foundations, the foundation pillars that Islam stands upon. And Hajj is one of those pillars. Naam. وَهُوَ طَاعَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. And it is a magnificent act of obedience. وَعِبَادَةٌ جَلِيلَةٌ. And a lofty, noble act of worship. وَقُرْبَةٌ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ كُرْبْ أَلَّتِي يَتَقَرَّبُ بِيهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزِّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Al-Hajj, it is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And it is a magnificent act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah called us, commanded us with it, so it's an act of obedience to Allah. And it is a lofty act of worship. It is an act of worship, Hajj, naam. And it is a qurba, from amongst the greatest of those things through which the believers seek nearness to Allah. It's from the greatest means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مَقَاصِدْ نَبِيلَ وَأَهْدَافْ جَلِيلَ. And it has this pilgrimage, this great act of worship, this great act of obedience, this pillar of Islam, this means of nearness to Allah. It has مَقَاصِدْ نَبِيلَ, objectives, noble goals and objectives, lofty goals and objectives. جَدِيرٌ بِنَا أَنَسْتَذْكِرَهَا وَهِيَ كَثِيرَةٌ لَكِنَّنِي أَجْتَزِعُ بِذِكْرِ أَهَمِّهَا وَأَعْظَمِهَا. These goals and objectives, it is becoming, it is befitting of us that we be reminded of them. Naam. And there are many, but I will be content to mention the most important and the most magnificent or the greatest of them. So the Shaykh is saying what? The goals and objectives of Hajj are many, but he's going to mention the most important of them. And from amongst the goals and objectives of Hajj, the Shaykh mentioned many things. He mentioned the establishment of Tawheed, the remembrance of Allah, strengthening Iman, achievement of Taqwa, and so on and so on. A lot of important matters that we're going to discuss in the course of this class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And he says that, I ask Allah, وَمِنَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ أَسْتَمِدُّ الْعَوْنِ. And I seek help from Allah alone, in presenting this topic. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, for success. And I ask Him subhanahu an yataqabbala hadha al-juhud, that Allah accept from us this effort, wa yu'azzim al-baraka fihi, and that He increase and magnify the blessings in it. Innahu wahdahu al-wali, and He, Allah, is alone, the one who has charge of our affairs. لا شريك له, he has no partner in that. وبه وحده التوفيق, and the success is with Allah alone. المقصد الأول, يعني the first objective or goal of Hajj, the Shaykh begins with, and we're going to just discuss one of them tonight. Perhaps in the future sessions we'll try to discuss more than one, so that hopefully we can finish during this Hajj season. And this class should run throughout the season of Hajj for the next couple of months. المقصد الأول, the first goal or objective of Hajj. يعني what is the first thing that Hajj has been legislated to achieve? It is تحقيق التوحيد. The realization, the actualization, the implementation in our lives of التوحيد. نعم. To establish التوحيد. من مقاصد الحج العظيمة وهو أعظمها وأجلها تحقيق التوحيد لله تبارك وتعالى والبراءة من ضده وهو الشرك بالله والخلوص منه. يعني from the objectives, the great magnificent goals and objectives of Hajj, rather the greatest of them, the most lofty of them, is the realization, the actualization in our lives of التوحيد for Allah the Blessed and the Most High. And to make oneself free, al-bara'a min diddihi, to make oneself free from the opposite of التوحيد, and that is making association of partners or equals with Allah, wal-khulus minhu, and to free ourselves completely from it. Naam, from shirk. The establishment of a tawheed, and to yani make ourselves, to declare ourselves and to free ourselves completely from a shirk. فَهَذَا أَجَلُّ مَقْصِدْ وَأَعْظَمْ حَدَفْ. And this is the most lofty, noble of the objectives of Hajj and the greatest of the goals of Hajj. Why? لِأَنَّ التَّوْهِيد هُوَ أَسَاس هُوَ الْأَسَاس الَّذِي خَلَقَنَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَجْلِهِ وَأَوْجَدَنَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِتَحْقِيقِهِ. Why is this the most important, the most magnificent, the greatest of all the objectives of Hajj, rather of Islam, of our existence? Why? It is because yani the Tawheed is the foundation, the asas, the foundation for which Allah has created us. He has created us for this purpose, yani for the purpose of establishing Tawheed. And He has brought us into existence to realize, to actualize At-Tawheed. This is the purpose of our existence, yani the purpose of our creation, the reason for Allah bringing us into existence, yani to establish At-Tawheed. And during the manasik of Hajj, وَمِنْ خِلَالْ مَنَاسِكَ الْحَجْ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَشَعَارِهِ الْجَلِيلَةِ وَمَشَاعِرِهِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ تَظْهُرْ جَلِيلًا مَكَانَةِ التوحيد الْعُظْمَى ومنزلته العليا وأنه أساس يبنى عليه دين الله عز وجل دين الله عز وجل وتقام عليه كل طاعة يتقرب بها المؤمن إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني during the process, the course of the rites of the great important rites of Hajj and its يعني religious ceremonies, its يعني noble religious ceremonies, and the sacred places that one will visit during the Hajj, the blessed places of the Hajj, during the course of these actions and these activities and these rites and the visit of these places, it becomes crystal clear, yani the station or the status, the great station or status of a Tawheed, and its lofty high station of Tawheed, and that it is the foundation that the deen of Allah is built upon, and that every act of obedience through which a person, a believer, seeks to get near to Allah is built upon it also. Yani based upon it. Every act of worship that a person does seeking nearness to Allah is based upon Tawheed. بَلْ إِنَّ كُلُّ طَاعَةٍ وعبادة لا تكون قائمة على التوحيد الله والبراء من الشرك فإن الله لا يقبلها من العامل. Rather, the Shaykh is saying, rather every act of obedience and every act of worship that is not based upon the tawheed of Allah and the yani being free from a shirk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it from the one who does it. And for this reason, yani it is mentioned by Jabir radiallahu anhu in the hadith, the great hadith reported by Imam Muslim from Jabir, the hadith of Hajj, in which yani Jabir radiallahu anhu describes the complete Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from beginning to end. Yani the most comprehensive hadith dealing with the pilgrimage is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah wrote a book on the subject of this hadith, the hadith of Jabir, just mentioning the hadith of Jabir from beginning to end with all of its various wordings from different narrations from innumerable books of hadith, not just from the narration of Imam Muslim. The hadith of Jabir, na'am. So the Shaykh says, for this reason, Jabir says in his hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, fi siyaqihi li hajj Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentions, yani the pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir says, فَأَحَلَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. Yani so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his voice, yani with the talbiyah of tawheed, saying, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Yani Jabir says, he describes the talbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he describes it as a tawheed. He describes the talbiyah of the Prophet as a tawheed. Al-halla an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bit-tawheed. Yani what he raised his voice to express, it was tawheed, pure tawheed. And as the Shaykh explains in this discussion tonight, he talks about the two parts of this talbiyah, that these two parts of the talbiyah, the two lines of the talbiyah, represent the two aspects of a tawheed that mostly was referred to by the earliest scholars of Islam, the people of Sunnah. Yani the tawheed being divided into two divisions, unlike yani what is more common amongst us today, tawheed being divided into three divisions, and all of it is yani good, just that yani some scholars explained it differently, right? Dividing into two or three categories, the Shaykh he refers to the earlier dividing of a tawheed into two categories, and he said that the talbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ represents these two, both categories of a tawheed. What is the tawheed? The talbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ, labayk Allahumma labayk, labayk la sharika laka labayk. This is the first line, labayk Allahumma labayk, yani labayk Allahumma labayk again. Labayk again, three times. La sharika laka labayk, four times. Labayk, 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 labayk. And in this first line, yani the meaning of labayk, Allahumma labayk, here I am, at your command. Yani labayk, it means answering your call, complying to your command, obedience to what you have commanded me with. Labayk, Allahumma labayk. This is how the Prophet said it. Labayk, la sharika laka labayk. Here I am at your command, in compliance to your command, at your call, at your service. Huh? La sharika lak, labayk. Yani here, yani la sharika lak here is what? The declaration that this compliance, this answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's no one that shares in the right to be obeyed and to respond to their call. No one shares this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I'm here to answer your call at your service, to obey, to comply, and no one shares in this. This is one type of tawheed. And the second line, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And again, لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, there's no one that shares with you in this type of tawheed that's expressed in these words, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. Yani alhamd, the praise, and the ni'mah, the bounties and favors, belong to you, and the mulk, the sovereignty or the kingdom. All of this belongs to Allah, and this is the second type of tawheed, that is tawheed al-ilmi. The Shaykh refers to it as tawheed al-ilmi, and the first type, tawheed al-amali. And the first type, tawheed al-amali, refers to yani the tawheed of uluhiyya, ubudiyyah, and the tawheed al-ilmi refers to the tawheed of what we normally call rububiyyah and asma wa sifat. This is the talbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ. It is befitting of a Muslim to memorize these words, not only for Hajj, but this is a declaration of tawheed. Yani that a Muslim acknowledges, labayk Allahumma labayk, labayk la sharika laka labayk. That's the first line. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعَمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. That's the second line. It's narrated, يعني Shaykh al-Albani in Sahih said that it's Sahih. يعني this is not in the book. I'm just making a note here, يعني as a point, يعني concerning this talbiyah, why I'm saying we should all memorize it. يعني Shaykh al-Albani said this narration is Sahih on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم مرفوعا. ما أحل محل قط إلا بشر. يعني there is no person who raises his voice with talbiyah قط at all. There is no person. ما أحل محل. There is no person who raises their voice with talbiyah ever إلا بشر, except that that person is given the بشر, good news. ولا كبر مكبر. And there is no person who declares openly that Allah is the greatest قط at all إلا بشر, except that that person is given the good news, the بشرة. كيلا, يعني it was said when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was said, يعني when he said this, بالجنة, يعني they are given the good news of جنة, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said نعم. يعني there is no person who declares the talbiyah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم except that they are given good news, and there is no person who declares takbir, that Allah is the greatest, except they were giving good news. They said, good news of what? Is it Jannah? And the Prophet said, Naam, good news of Jannah. Of course, it means, as we mentioned on innumerable occasions, it doesn't just mean that a person expresses on their tongue, but that they believe it in their heart, and what they express on their tongue is manifested in their life, in their actions. Yani Abu Sa'id, you know we don't normally take questions till the end, right? Go ahead. It's not restricted to Hajj. It's not restricted to Hajj. There's no doubt that the person who's more befitting of this is the person who has traveled, who's left their land, right, and sacrificed wealth and all kind of things, comfort and so on, to make pilgrimage, that if that person is saying it, they're in the best position. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. The praise of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, yani it doesn't, yani it's not limited to a place, right? But Allah is to be praised in that land and in this land. In the hospital and at home. In the prison and on the streets. And Allah is worshipped wherever we are. And Allah accepts the worship of those who worship Him, wherever they are. Naam. After this, the Shaykh, he says, after mentioning the Tawbiyah, he said, هذه الكلمات العظيمات كلمات توحيد وإخلاص لله جل وعلا وبراءة من الشرك. And that these magnificent words are words of Tawheed and words of Ikhlas. Words of Tawheed, yani singling out Allah alone. And ikhlas, yani offering something for Allah alone. And freeing oneself from shirk. These words of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَيْنَمَا كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ يُحِلُّونَ بِالشِّرْكِ وَالتَّنْدِيدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying this while the pagans, mushriks, they were raising their voice with a word of shirk, and associating something as an equal or partner with Allah. ففي صحيح مسلم, as it has been narrated in Sahih Muslim from Abd ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said, كان المشركون يقولون لبيك لا شريك لك. يعني the mushriks, they used to say, and in the end of the narrative he said, they were saying it when they were going around the Kaaba. They were saying what? لبيك لا شريك لك. Here I am, يعني meaning to Allah. لا شريك لك. You have no partner. قال فيقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the narrator of hadith says, so the Prophet, when they were saying this, لا بيك لا شريك لك, يعني here we are at your command and you have no partner. The mushriks were saying that, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say to them, ويلكم, woe to you. قط قط. Or in some of the narrations he said, قَدٍ قَدٍ, يعني the same meaning, يعني وَيْلَكُمْ قَطْ قَطْ, يعني the meaning of it is, يعني كَفَاكُمْ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ فَاقْتَصِرُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا يعني مَا بَعْدَهُ. يعني let this what you have said be sufficient for you. Stop here. فَاقْتَصِرُوا عَلَيْهِ, يعني limit yourself to this. وَلَا تَقُولُوا, and then don't say what you say after that. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying to them, what? Stop here, that's enough. فَيَقُولُونَ, but they were saying, إِلَّا شَرِيكًا هُوَ لَكَ تَمْلِكُهُ وَمَا malaka. Yani they were saying what? Here I am at your command. You have no partner. Except a sharik. Except a partner. Huwa laka. A partner that belongs to you. Tamlikuhu. You own him. Wa ma malaka. And whatever he owns. Yani, O Allah, you have no partner. Except a partner that you own him. You possess him. And you also own whatever he possesses. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was telling him. Stop there. Don't say this. يَقُولُونَ هَذَا وَهُمْ يَتُوفُونَ بِالْبَيْتِ. They were saying this while they were circumambulating the Kaaba. Yani the Prophet ﷺ was telling them, stop. You know, sometimes a person is saying something good, and then it gets good to them, and they start saying more, and you could just say, stop. Yani you're good right now. Stop. Enough. يَكْفِي. But sometimes, كَثْرَةُ الْكَلَامِ. We just want to talk more and more and more, and then that's when we fall into trouble. Prophet ﷺ says, stop here, don't go any further, don't go past this to what you're going to say after this, because he knows what they're going to say. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ. And here the Shaykh begins to mention, yani go back to the talbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ. لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ لَبَيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَيْكَ وَفِي قَوْلِهِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. يعني it says لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, I assume that he means يعني في قوله لا شريك لك, يعني that oh Allah you have no partner. وقد تقررت في تلبية مرتين. And this statement لا شريك لك, you have no partner, oh Allah you have no partner, it has been repeated twice in the تلبية of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Once following إجابته بقوله, once following his responding to Allah's call, the call to perform the pilgrimage, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying لبيك اللهم لبيك. Yani here I am, answering your call, at your command, at your service, in compliance, in obedience to you. After that, yani answering Allah's call, that statement of answering Allah's call, then yani the Prophet ﷺ said, La sharika lak. It came that time once, and then he said, وَمَرَّةً أَقِبَ قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. And then it came again after the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that verily the praise and the bounty and favor belongs to you, and also the kingdom or the sovereignty. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ came twice, after the first statement and after the second statement. So the Shaykh says, فَالْأَوَّلْ يَتَضَمَّنُ أَنَّهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فِي إِجَابَ هَذِهِ الدَّعْوَةِ. Yani the first time saying لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, yani what it includes is the meaning, yani contains within the meaning that Allah has no partner in this answering to that call, the call of Allah to come and perform the pilgrimage in compliance and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no partner in this. No one shares in this. Rather, it is in compliance and in answering to Allah alone. وَالثَّانِي يَتَضَمَّنُ أَنَّهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فِي الْحَمْدُ وَالنِّعْمَةُ وَالْمُلْكُ. And the second time when he said لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, it contains the meaning that Allah has no partner in the praise, the hamd, all of it that belongs to him alone, and in the ni'mah, the bounty of favors that Allah gives to his creation, nobody shares in this, and in the mulk, yani the sovereignty, the rulership, the authority over the heavens and the earth, no one shares in this. فَهُوَ إِخْلَاصٌ لِلَّهِ فِي نَوَعِي التَّوْهِيدَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So this is ikhlas, yani making, singling out Allah alone, purely for him alone, yani in the two types of tawheed, tawheed al-ilmi wa tawheed al-amali. Tawheed al-ilmi wa tawheed al-amali. The amali part, the tawheed al-amali, he said, is in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, labayk allahumma labayk. Yani in the first part of the talbiyah, labayk allahumma labayk. Yani at your service, at yani answering your call, responding to your call in compliance and obedience to you. This first part of the talbiyah, this is what the Shaykh is referring to as a tawheed al-amali. And tawheed al-amali is in reference to which type of tawheed? The tawheed of ibadah, tawheed al-ubudiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Yani that the human being is in compliance with the commands of Allah to worship Him with all forms of worship that He has made obligatory upon us. This is Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Here, and the Shaykh is referring to this Tawheed as Tawheed al-Amali. And sometimes this Tawheed, by some of the earlier scholars, they refer to it as Tawheed al-Qasd wa al-Talab. Same thing, al-Qasd wa al-Talab, meaning that the person's qasd, their intent, yani, is to worship Allah alone. And the talab is they are worshipping Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And some of the scholars referred to it like this, Tawheed al-Qasd wa al-Talab, and some of them said, At-Tawheed al-Iradi wa al-Talabi, meaning the same thing, that the human being has an irada, yani, an intent to do something for the sake of Allah, and the talabi is, yani, they're doing it seeking the pleasure of Allah. This is the first part of the talbiyah, yani, that deals with what? The Tawheed al-Amali. The second part, the Shaykh says, وَالْعِلْمِ فِي قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. وَالْعِلْمِ, yani Tawheed al-Ilmi, the Tawheed that's related to knowledge, is in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, verily the praise and the bounty belongs to you, and the sovereignty, it all belongs to you, and you have no partner in it. This is Tawheed al-Ilmi. The scholars referred to it in the early times as Tawheed al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat. Tawheed al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat. Al-Ma'rifa, meaning that you come to know about Allah, huh? By what? Through His names, His Asma, Was-Sifat, Wal-Af'al. You came to know Allah by His names, and His characteristics, and His actions. And this, the names and characteristics, is what? Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, and His actions is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the actions of the Rabb. And Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah is the actions of the Abd. So here, the Shaykh he's referring to here, Tawheed al-Ilmi, yani in the saying of the Prophet and the Talbiyah, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ, the very the praise belongs to you, and the ni'mah, all bounties are from you, and the sovereignty, rulership over everything in the creation belongs to you, and in this you have no partner, in this you have no partner, and this, yani again I said, the scholars referred to it in the earlier times, many of the scholars referred to it as Tawheed al-Ma'arifa wal Ithbat. Tawheed, I'm sorry, this Tawheed al-Ilmi, naam, al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat, meaning that you come, Ma'rifa, coming to know Allah, is through His names and attributes and actions, and Ithbat means that when you know Allah's names and attributes, you confirm whatever Allah has confirmed for Himself. Whatever Allah has confirmed for Himself, we confirm it. And whatever Allah has mentioned about Himself in the Quran and the Sunnah, and what the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed for him in the authentic Sunnah, this is Tawheed, right, Asma wa Sifat. And also we confirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make ithbat of whatever He has said about Himself in terms of His rububiyyah. So Tawheed al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat, or Tawheed al-Ilmi wal-Khabari, all of this is dealing with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His asma wa sifat and His actions. Yani knowing Allah, and only knowing Allah from the khabar, yani from the Quran and from the Sunnah. That's why some of the scholars refer to it as what? Tawheed At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi Al-Khabari. Al-Ilmi, knowledge of Allah that comes from the Khabar, yani from the revelation, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. In any case, the Shaykh Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, and may Allah protect and preserve his father, he says that this Talbiyah, it is pure ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both of the two types of Tawheed. Al-Ilmi, yani that which relates to knowledge, Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, and Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and al-Amali, the Tawheed of actions, yani that the human being does intending to worship Allah alone, seeking His pleasure and His reward. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, yani after mentioning this, that this Talbiyah, yani deals with the two aspects of Tawheed, or if we want to say three, then all three of them are included in what he means here. إِذَا تَقَرَّرَ أَنَّ الْحَمْدِ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةَ كُلَّهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالْمُلْقَ كُلَّهُ لَهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي ذَلِكَ بِوَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ فَلْنُفْرَدْ وَحْدَهُ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِذْعَانِ. Yani, if we agree, if it is established that the praise, all of it belongs to Allah, and the bounties, all of them are from Allah, and the sovereignty, all of it belongs to Allah, and He has no partner in these things, bi wajhin min al-wujuh, in any way whatsoever, from any aspect that you want to look at it, Allah has no partner in any of this, then it is incumbent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani be singled out for the talbiyah, yani that this call, it is for Allah alone. And al-khudu', yani humbling oneself. Al-mahabba, yani love. Al-qiyad, compliance. Ta'a, obedience. All of these meanings that the Shaykh mentions here, submission and surrender, it is incumbent then that yani we offer all of this to Allah alone, that we single out Allah. فَلْيُفْرَدْ Yani Allah is singled out, وَحْدَهُ by himself, for all of these things. فَكَيْفَ يُجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ شَرِيكًا فِي الْإِبَادَةِ مَنْ لَا يَمْلِكُ فِي هَذَا الْقَوْنِ مِنْ قِتْمِيرٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَا يَمْلِكُ نَفْعًا وَلَا دَفْعًا وَلَيْسَ بِيَدِهِ أَطَاعٌ وَلَا مَنْعٌ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ بَلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَبْيَنْ مَا يَكُونُ دَلَالَةً عَلَى فَسَادِ الشِّرْكِ وَأَنَّ أَهْلَهُ مِنْ أَسْفَهِ النَّاسِ وَأَضَلِّهِمْ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ And the Shaykh says, that being said, yani that all of this belongs to Allah alone, so how is it that a partner can be made for Allah in the worship? Yani if Allah is the only one who has perfect names and characteristics and the perfect actions, and Allah is the only one that controls the heavens and the earth and the universe, who gives life and causes death, if Allah is alone in all of these things, how then can a partner be made for Him in worship? And all of this belongs to Allah alone, how then does someone yani become entitled to share with Him the worship? Yani someone that doesn't control anything at all in the universe, they don't have any share in the sovereignty, they don't yani possess or control giving benefit or repulsing harm, they don't have, it's not in their hand to give or to withhold. Yani may Allah be yani raised high above that which they associate with Him. Indeed, the whole of the affair belongs to Allah. He has no partner in any of it, not in the sovereignty, in the kingdom, in the asma wa sifat, nor in the worship that belongs to Him alone. And here, yani, I'll just make a note that yani, some of the scholars, the early generations of the Muslims, they used to say that the tawheed of yani rububiyyah, and along with it asma wa sifat, is the clearest proof that Allah alone is the one that deserves to be worshipped. Yani whoever accepts that Allah is the only creator, then this is a clear proof against them if they want to offer worship to other than Allah. This is a clear proof. So tawheed al-rububiyyah yani necessitates tawheed al-ubudiyyah. And whoever acknowledges that Allah is the only creator, the one who gives life and death, then they must acknowledge that He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. The Shaykh says this is from the clearest evidences of the corruption of shirk, and that the people of shirk are the stupidest, the dumbest of people, and the most astray from the straight path. Now, the Shaykh, he says, the Prophet ﷺ said in the miqat, yani at the boundaries, yani the miqat of two types, right? The miqat of two types. What types are there? Miqat of what? Zamaniya and? Makaniya. Yani the miqat, the boundaries, time boundaries and land boundaries. Yani they are land boundaries, a person can't cross that boundary if they intend Hajj or Umrah except they're in a state of Ihram. And they're also time boundaries, right? That you can't make the Hajj before this time or after it. So these are the miqat. The Shaykh is talking about here the miqat, yani makaniya, the land boundaries. There are five miqat, right? And this is not ahkam al-hajj. But there are five miqat. There are five miqat. Nobody should cross the miqat if they intend to make hajj or umrah except that they're in a state of ihram. Clothing of ihram and intention of ihram and reciting a talbiyah. The Shaykh says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was at the miqat, at the time when he was raising his voice, yani with the intention for Hajj, ahalla bil Hajj, he used to say, Allahumma hajjatun la ri'a'a fiha wala sum'a. Yani, O Allah, this is a Hajj that I intend to make, لا رياء لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. يعني there is no intent to be seen. يعني ostentation. يعني in other words, this act of worship, it is not being done to be seen by people. ولا سمعة, nor to be heard. يعني to get a reputation from the people. Not to be seen, nor to be heard. Meaning what? That it is purely for Allah alone. And this is from amongst the sayings that are from the sunnah for a person intending to make hajj, that they should say this, O Allah, this hajj, it is not being done to be seen nor to be heard, so that people can speak about what I have done. ثم مضى إلى مكة ملبيا بكلمة التوحيد العظيمة المستملة على التوحيد وتحقيقه والبراء من ضده يرددها عليه الصلاة والسلام في طريقه إلى مكة وفي تنقلاته بين المشاعر. Yani then the Prophet went on after yani entering the state of Ihram at the Miqat. At which Miqat did the Prophet enter the state of Ihram? At which Miqat of the five? Dhul Hulayfa, the Miqat of the people of Medina. Dhul Hulayfa, na'am. I wish I had something to give you as a gift. I didn't bring anything. Oh, by the way, before I leave today, if anybody didn't get their gift from the last class on Muslim Unity with Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Saadi, if anybody wasn't here when we gave out the books, then I have some books here. A couple of them have names on them and some of them don't. If you were supposed to get a gift, you know for a fact, and you didn't get it, then and I'll trust you, inshallah. I have something here. Because I don't remember everybody who got and who didn't get. So the Prophet ﷺ went on after reciting this to Mecca, yani reciting the Talbiyah. With these great magnificent words that encompass Tawheed and the realization of Tawheed and being free from its opposite, that is Shirk. And he kept repeating it, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his traveling and in the along the road going to Mecca, and in his going from one of the yani sacred places to another. He kept repeating the Talbiyah throughout this time. Yani this Talbiyah of التوحيد. ثم إن التواف ثم إن التواف بالبيت والسعي بين الصفا والمروة والوقوف بعرفات والوقوف بمزدلفة والقيام بأعمال الحج الأخرى كل ذلك طاعة وعبادة قائمة على التوحيد يجب على كل حاج أن يقصد بهذه الأعمال كلها الطاعات جميع والطاعات جميعها وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى فإن الله لا يقبل عمل العامل إلا إذا كان قائما على التوحيد له عز وجل. And then the Shaykh mentions the hadith. Okay, here the Shaykh is saying what? Now the Shaykh is generally mentioning the Hajj, yani as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the tawaf of the bait, yani of the Kaaba, circumambulation of the Kaaba, and the sa'i, yani walking between the two mountains of As-Safa and Marwa, and the standing, the wukuf al-Arafat, and the standing at Muzdalifa, spending the night there, and the qiyam, the performance or fulfillment of the other rites or actions or deeds of hajj, all of this, kullu dhalika ta'atun, yani is in obedience to Allah, wa ibadatun, and these are acts of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are based upon tawheed. Yani the tawaf of the Kaaba, the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, yani these are the main aspects of the hajj, right? The main aspects of the Hajj is Tawaf and Sa'i and standing at Arafat, and the fourth of the Arkan of Hajj, the fourth of them is what? Yani we mentioned Tawaf, we mentioned Sa'i, we mentioned Al-Wukuf bi-Arafat. There are four pillars of the Arkan of Hajj. The fourth of them is the first of them. Is the first of them. I didn't mention the first of them. He didn't mention it. We mentioned it already, but we didn't mention it here in this sentence. It is Ihram. Al-Ihram fil Miqat. Ihram. Yani, so during the, he mentioned Ihram, right? So now he's saying, likewise in the Tawaf, and in the Sa'i, and in the standing at Arafat, and the standing at Muzdalifah, and the fulfillment of the other actions of Hajj, all of this, every one of these are acts of obedience, the acts of worship, that are based upon Tawheed. In all of these things, it is obligatory upon every pilgrim. Rather, it is obligatory upon every Muslim who's doing any act of worship, right? Any act of worship. When we're talking about Hajj here, please remember, brothers and sisters, that we're talking about worship in general. It's not just Hajj, but yani the Shaykh is talking about Hajj, but rather all of this is applicable to everything that we do every day in our life, whether Salat or Zakat or Siyam or whatever it is that we're doing. All of this is applicable to whatever we're doing in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obligatory on every pilgrim to intend these by these actions, every one of them, to intend by every act of obedience that they do, that they intend to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept the deed of any doer of deeds, except that that deed is based upon the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, it came in the hadith al-Qudsi. The hadith al-Qudsi, we mean by that what? The hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is narrating from Allah. Prophet is narrating from Allah azza wa jalla. That Allah said in the hadith Qudsi, أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه وشركه نعم أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. This hadith, يعني the wording of it is a little bit difficult, يعني the apparent meaning of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ana agna ashuraka an ash-shirk. Ana agna ashuraka. Agna is ism tafdil, right? Yani, that means the most or the biggest or the greatest or the highest, right? Of ghani, yani one who's free of need, of shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ana agna ashuraka. But of course, the real meaning here is that it doesn't mean, yani it's not, the meaning is not intended but tafdil. But rather the meaning is general. Because there's no one that's free of need except Allah. So there's no comparison between Allah and whoever else is free of need, right? Because Allah is the only one that's free of need. Allah is al-ghani. And everybody else is in need of Allah, right? So the wording here is a little bit difficult because of the intended meaning and the apparent meaning. But in any case, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءَ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am ghani عَنِ الشَّرِيكِ. I am free of need of any partner, associate, or anyone to share with me. And some of the scholars, they said, yani, that the meaning is, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَى أي أَنَا أَغْنَى مَنْ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُمْ شُرَكَى عَلَى فَرْضْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ غِنَى. Yani, those, his, Allah is from those that they claim are his partners. If they are claiming that they have some being free of need, yani, according to their claim, the ones that they made as partners to Allah, if they claim that they are free of need, well, Allah is more free of need than they are. Yani based on their claim. But of course, there's no one free of need except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he's free of need. Yani in a way that yani none of those that they associate with him are free of need. So that whoever associates someone or something with Allah, meaning in their intent that they're doing it for Allah, and along with Allah, they're also trying to please someone or something else, Allah Yani is ghani, he is agna ash-shuraka, he is free of need of such a thing. Man amila amalan, so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man amila amalan ashraka fihi ma'i ghairi taraktuhu wa shirkahu. So whoever does a deed in which they have associated something in it, meaning they have an intention to earn the pleasure of Allah, to earn the reward of Allah, that's their intent, ibtigha rida Allah, they intend that, but then ashraka fihi, then they shared. In that deed, they share the intent to please someone or something else besides Allah. Yani ashraka fihi ma'i, along with Allah. Ghairi, yani someone or something else from amongst the created beings, taraktuhu wa shirkahu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have left him and his shirk. Yani Allah abandons that person and he abandons the deed that they have associated someone or something in it with him. This is a very important hadith. Yani we don't have time to go into the details of it now, but in any case, we know that yani there's riya. Yani one of the most dangerous types of shirk, that people do acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they might mix in their intent. Yani they might have in their heart some desire to please the people. to be praised by the people, to be yani seen by the people. And if yani that riyah, if it is pure riyah, that they really did it from the beginning only yani for the people, then that deed is invalid completely. Okay, if like the hypocrites, they only did deeds yani for the people, right? I mean, they had no intent whatsoever to please Allah. So then, of course, Allah, He doesn't accept this deed. And the Muslim has to be careful that we don't allow our intent to be polluted by doing something for Allah and then sharing with Him. This is what this hadith is talking about. That we're sharing someone else in our heart and desiring to please that person or that thing. So the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكُهُ. Then Allah abandoned, leaves that person and their shirk. Here, the Shaykh, we close with this comment here, where the Shaykh, he says, وَعَلَى مُلَبِّي الَّذِي أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الْعَظِيمَةِ أَنْ يَسْتَحْضِرْ مَآنِيهَا وَأَنْ يَعْيَ دَلَالَتِهَا وَأَنْ يَسْعَى حَيَاتَهُ فِي تَحْقِيقِ التَّوْهِيدِ الَّذِي دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ. Yani it is incumbent upon the person who is reciting the talbiyah. Huh? The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored with this talbiyah, with these magnificent words. Yani whoever reflects upon the words of the talbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed these are magnificent words. Whoever reflects upon this meaning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored them to recite these words, especially yani a person who has gone to Mecca for the performance of Hajj or Umrah. Yani, whoever is in this condition, he said, the Shaykh is saying what? It is incumbent upon such a person to call to mind, yastahdir, yani to call to mind, to have presence of heart and mind of the meaning of these words, and to comprehend what they indicate, not just reciting words. As many of the people are reciting the words without having an idea what they mean. Or, most of the people at least have an idea of the meaning of the words on the surface, but not their real significance. Yani, how many of the people understand that these words indicate the establishment in our life of Tawheed? It's not just for the time of reciting Talbiyah in Hajj, but rather it's for our whole life. Yani, what we are saying here is a commitment that we are making to Allah on that occasion that we are in, that we intend to fulfill yani, while we are in this world. So it is incumbent upon the person reciting Talbiyah, the one who Allah is honored with to recite these words, to call to mind the meanings of these words and that which they indicate, and to strive وَأَنْ يَسَى حَيَاتَهُ throughout his life فِي تَحْقِيقَ التَّوْهِيدِ to realize, to actualize this Tawheed الَّذِي دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ which these words point to. فَيَكُونُ مُخْلِصًا دِينَهُ لِلَّهِ. So that person, every one of us then, reciting Tawheed, or reciting the words of Shahada, or reciting the Al-Fatiha and Salat, or whatever it is that we're saying, praise and glorification of Allah, it is incumbent upon us to call to mind the meaning of what we are reciting and to understand the indications, so that we strive in our life for the realization, the actualization, the implementation of Tawheed that these words point to. So that person should be mukhlisan deenahu lillah. Yani should make their deen yani purely for Allah alone. They should not ask anyone except Allah, meaning the things that Allah has only the ability to give. لا يسأل إلا الله ولا يستغيث إلا بالله. And they should not seek help in severe difficulty except from Allah. ولا يتوكل إلا على الله. And don't put their trust, dependence, reliance except upon Allah. ولا يذبح إلا لله. And they should not sacrifice except for Allah, and not make an oath except for Allah. وَلَا يَصْرِفُ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And that we should not offer anything of worship except to Allah. Except to Allah. And then here the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am. Saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 162nd and 163rd ayat. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُقِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوْلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ indeed my salat ونسقي and sacrifice. يعني some of the scholars said it means ذب. يعني الصلاة and ذب. And some of the scholars said that it means يعني حج. Or it means ibadah in general. That indeed my salat and my sacrifice or my worship. وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي and my life. يعني whatever occurs in my life. And mamati and my death is all for Allah, the Rabb of all the worlds. لا شريك له. He has no partner in this. يعني he has no partner in the worship that belongs to him alone, just as it is known that he has no partner in the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth and the controlling of the affairs of the universe. Just as he has no partner in this, well, likewise, he has no partner in the worship. And again, we say that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah necessitates Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And whoever knows that Allah is the sole sovereign in the heavens and the earth, then they should also of necessity know that he's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Naam. So the Shaykh is saying that, again, that we should keep in mind, this is what we're closing with, we should keep in mind, and when reciting these words, or any words of praise, recitation of the Quran, from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, whatever it might be, that a person is reciting in dhikr and dua, we should try to call to mind the meaning of what we are saying and the indications, yani significance of these words, so that it comes from our heart when it's expressed upon the tongue, and that we realize that these things have to be manifested in our life. The Shaykh says, such that a person will be mustamsikan bit-tawheed, holding fast to tawheed. Muhafidhan alayhi, guarding it, protecting it, and preserving it. Do we guard and protect and preserve our tawheed, or is it just something that we claim? And we are the people of tawheed. But how much effort are we actually making, not just to espouse a tawheed on the tongue, but in our lives to guard and to protect and preserve the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Mura'iyan lihuquqihi, paying attention to the rights of tawheed. The rights of tawheed. Mujaniban linawaqidihi wama yudaduhu min ash-shirki billahi. And avoiding, distancing ourselves, of staying far away from those things that negate or nullify the tawheed, or that which is in opposition to the tawheed, that is a shirk, and associating something with a partner, as a partner with Allah. Hadiran tamam al-hadr min al-wuqufihi. And taking every precaution, complete and perfect, yani cautiousness, from falling into a shirk, or falling into any of those things that are the causes, the asbab of shirk, or the means, the wasail that lead to shirk, or the turuq, the ways, the roads of shirk. Yani that a person must yani take every precaution to avoid falling into shirk, or in any of the things that are the means of shirk, or the yani causes of shirk, or the roads that lead to shirk. Ja'ilan at-tawheed akbar maqasidihi wa hammu ghayatihi wa inayatuhu bihi muqaddimatan ala al-inaya bi kulli amrin. Yani that the person should what? Make the tawheed the greatest of the objectives. Yani a person makes tawheed our greatest goal, our greatest objective, our most important goal in our life, is what? The realization, the actualization, the implementation of tawheed. And the care that we give to it should be given precedence over the care that we give to any other affair. Yani a person takes care to guard and protect and take care of their children, mashallah. Well, tawheed has more right that you guard and protect it. Yani a person takes care of their car. They don't want anybody to touch it. If you bump their car, they might be ready to fight or kill. They wash it every day. A person takes care of their house, or their home, or their clothing. And instead of just washing and ironing, they're going to take it to the cleaners and pay $20 to wash and iron a thobe. Yani that is care. But Tawheed has more right that it be given precedence over the care that we give to anything, things that are important and things that are insignificant. Because we give care to things that are insignificant. Wallahi, we give care to things that are insignificant. Maybe it's a radio program or a TV program that we can't miss. Wallahi, we can't miss it. That's the kind of care that we give to things. Some of them really are not important. But even if it's important, then the Shaykh is saying that we must make the Tawheed, the establishment of Tawheed, the greatest, the most important of our goals and objectives. And the care that we give to it should be given precedence over the care that we give to anything else. وَعَلَى هَذَا يَحْيَى وَعَلَيْهِ يَمُوتْ وَعَلَيْهِ يُبْعَثُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And it is upon this Tawheed that we must live. And upon it, we hope to die. And upon it, we hope to be resurrected بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And we don't have much time left, but I want to repeat and remind us of the great important comment of Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir concerning this last matter that the Shaykh mentions, living upon Tawheed, dying upon Tawheed, and being resurrected upon it. In the ayat in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves. And don't die except that you die as Muslims, upon Tawheed. The scholars of Sunnah say, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ mean, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوَحِّدُونَ. Don't die except that you die upon Tawheed. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فِي حَالِ صِحَّتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ. Guard, protect, and preserve the Islam. What is Islam? Tawheed. God protect and preserve the Islam. Whether in the condition sihatikum, when you're in good health, wa salamatikum, or you are safe and secure, or whatever your condition may be, guard and protect your Islam so that you may die upon it. Meaning, adhere to the Tawheed, stick to the Islam, to the obedience to Allah in every situation or circumstance so that you may die upon it. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمِ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ. For indeed, Al-Kareem, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous one. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمِ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ. He has made it such due to his generosity. He has made it such that it is his ada. This is his way. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. That whoever lives upon something, they will die upon it. وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever dies upon something, they will be resurrected upon it. فَإِيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ خِلَافِ ذَٰلِكَ. And we seek refuge in Allah from anything other than that. May Allah accept from us our efforts to worship Him and to seek His pleasure and His reward. May Allah make us to understand the importance of this Tawheed as the greatest objective of Hajj and the greatest goal in the life of a Muslim. May Allah enable us to realize this in our lives, meaning to understand its importance and then to strive and struggle to implement a Tawheed in every situation or circumstance in our lives. We'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.